Today's podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com. If football is your passion, you know the players and the teams, their strengths and weaknesses. Now you can put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes that they're doling out in the week one contest. DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. Fantasy football AF, actual factual. 1 week fantasy means no season long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players that you want, which is ideal. You don't want to play with players you don't want to play with. And pick your contest, draft the players, and just follow your team live. You could renew the old rivalries by challenging friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM, or join an existing league to go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players, or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now, choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the promo code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB. And play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm Rob Cisterna, and we are back to talk about the most interesting news stories of the week of August 30th, 2016, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual.
Rocking it out.
Yes, yes. The actual factual news is here once again to talk about everything that's going on. Tyson is joined by a special co-host. He had Bergen there with him, and then he just put her down on the floor.
Yeah, I just put her down on the floor, and then she does what she wants.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Good morning, Tyson.
Thank you. Good morning to you, Rob.
Good job dadding so far.
Easy. So easy.
So easy. And then here he is, back with us once again, the eye in the sky, Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for asking, Rob.
Oh.
Always so polite.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny.
Here's an interesting...
I'm trying to bring more civility to this podcast.
Why? Ooh. Have we had a turn for the negative in our discourse?
I just don't want our online friendship to fracture
friendship.
And fall apart.
Yes.
To dissipate.
It's only an online friendship.
Yeah. Well, you and Tyson at least have a real friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But our friendship is determined by the speed of our internet connection.
Yeah.
Who's mine and yours?
No, mine and Rob's.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, not mine and yours.
Hopefully it will even get faster and better in the years to come.
Eventually it'll become totally real once we get VR goggles.
Yes.
And I can just see, you know, your 3D shape.
Yeah, we got to work on that. We have to work on that.
It's coming.
Danny, what was the story that you were about to tell? And I said, don't tell it yet until we start going on the air.
Tyson and I had a fantastic weekend.
Yes. What did you do?
Now, I don't want to brag because some people out there don't have great weekends, but we went to a Renaissance fair with our wives and children.
Yes, yes. Whose idea
and
was
we
that?
We saw. Actually, I texted Tyson and said, hey, I know this is right up your alley. This is the kind of thing you'd love to do. You should go. And he said, yeah, I was already planning on going. And so we, I knew that he would be going. It's just such a Tyson thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so hilarious. How can you not go?
Yeah, how can you not go? So we went to go see the jousting and sword matches.
Yeah.
And gotta be honest, I had some newfound respect for those guys who do the sword fights.
Yeah.
Because
close
they
your
were
eyes
hitting,
for a second, Rob.
Yeah, close your eyes. Let Tyson explain to you what he witnessed.
Imagine
an eyewitness.
Like the nerdiest nerd you can imagine.
Okay.
Then put a suit of armor on them with a bunch of plate, with a bunch of padding underneath. Then give them either, you can choose between a dull broadsword or a dull axe, mm-hmm. but like a full-blown axe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you put their armor helmet on. There's two of these guys. And then they charge each other, hitting each other as hard as they can with whatever weapon they have until one of them falls on the ground and the one who's left standing is the winner. It's hilarious. Meanwhile, all the friends and fans are cheering these guys' names.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the clear picture?
Yes. Yeah. So It's interesting. So you're saying that it's like nerdy guys who work at the Renaissance Fair. So it's not like the Mountain from Game of Thrones, Danny, working at the Renaissance Fair.
I would love to see the Mountain step in the ring with these guys and sweep them away like with a broom as he swings his broadsword.
Yeah, because I would think it's like acting, right? That they can't cast for these parts.
They are hitting each other so hard.
Yeah,
they're hitting each other full speed ahead, dude. It's these guys that started this club just to fight each other in suits of armor.
Okay.
Like you see them and you're like, yeah, well, what's going to happen here, right? Here's a bunch of dorks. And they put those helmets on and it's as if they are
transformation. Yeah.
Into knights. One guy had a mace and was hitting his friend or, you know, fellow competitor, so super hard, just all over the body until he knocked him down.
Yeah. Okay. So
amazing.
If you guys got into a suit of armor and had some sort of a medieval joust, who would be the victor?
Tyson would hit me once, and then I wouldn't be able to see anything through my tears because it looked so painful.
Dude, that armor when you hit it is so loud, too. It was great. It was a really great show.
Tyson, yeah, Ben King wants to know if you had any turkey legs at the medieval Renaissance Fair.
I looked for them and couldn't find them, and then Rachel went, Rachel, or in medieval times you would refer to them as your wench, looked around for some turkey legs. Yeah, looked around for some turkey legs and couldn't find any. She's like, there's no turkey legs. And then I saw a guy eating a turkey leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guy, I think, and I corrected Tyson when they were talking about the turkey legs. I think you eat mutton.
Oh.
In the medieval times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mutton.
Okay.
Mutton. So we didn't see a guy with a hot and ready, which Tyson pointed out was not historically accurate.
Yeah.
And Tyson almost confronted him, but I held him back. I'm like, don't do it, bro. It's not worth it. Yeah. You might have a
you're ruining this whole thing.
Beneath his cloak.
Now, was this like a traveling Renaissance fair, or is it something that's just a staple?
No, it is a traveling Renaissance fair. The Knights of Mayhem, who had that TV show about jousting and stuff,
I did not hear about the Knights. Is it like, they're like the Sons of Anarchy of the medieval times?
The Knights of Mayhem was a real TV show about these guys who joust for a living.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was a show or just a special, but I remember seeing them on TV, and then they were filming while we were there as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy is an ex-Marine who is... just based on the content of his message, is a real Trump supporter.
Wait, they get political at medieval times also?
He did.
Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah.
But he went on and on, and I'm like, Tyson, I think I want to leave. Yeah. I haven't even seen the jousting, but this
ye
is
ye old
so
England great again.
He kept like being like, if there's anybody from ISIS here in the audience today, meet me at the trailer afterwards so I can... lick your ass. And we were like, whoa, bro, that doesn't sound... Yeah, hey, that doesn't sound right.
Lick? I think not he said kick. I think he said kick.
He said kick.
Yeah.
He said kick.
Maybe it was hard to hear with the suit of armor over his face.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, and then he kept... all the hot topics in the news, he addressed all of them.
Yeah.
He hit them all.
Things were simpler.
Some crypt notes.
It was simpler times when you could just challenge ISIS to a joust. And then that would really be
in the middle of Utah.
There was one medieval game that I was sorry wasn't there. I read a book about medieval times once. I think it was called A Distant Mirror. And in it, they had a game where they would tie a cat to a pole.
Yes.
And villagers would beat the cat to death with their heads.
Oh, no. Their heads.
Yes, that was a game from medieval times. Like how bored is life and how bored are you to beat a cat to death with your head as it's tied to a pole?
I don't know.
I think that game morphed into bobbing for apples eventually.
Eventually.
You think that's where it came from?
Yeah.
So that game wasn't there.
All right.
Let's
jump into the news because we have a lot of stories to get into. We got so many submissions. I was telling Danny and Tyson before the show. Yeah. That Danny's last name that I'm that is Tyson and Bryson can get confusing. It'd be a great like 80s buddy cop show, I think.
But
in that show, like who's the good cop? Who's the bad cop?
I think that Tyson, are you the bad cop?
I'd probably have to be the bad cop. I have a point to your face.
Yeah. You know, in the Lethal Weapon of it all, I think that Danny is more of like the Danny Glover. And you guys are both Dannys. And Tyson is probably more of like the loose cannon Mel Gibson. Not as loose cannon as the real Mel Gibson.
So I'm the guy who sits on the toilet with a bomb on it.
You're like, I'm getting too old
Tyson
for this.
Tyson pulls me into the tub.
Why can't we do... I was thinking we could do more of like a band, like a Hall & Oates style mixed with Peebo Bryson.
Yeah.
How about I'm Joe Pesci and he's Mel Gibson?
Okay.
Why do I have to be Danny Glover?
I like Danny Glover more than Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the most annoying thing in that entire movie.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that you're Joe Pesci and he's Daniel Stern.
I probably look more like Daniel Stern, even though I shouldn't admit that.
And I'm like Macaulay Culkin, and then you guys try to break into my house. And then and then my son has a million Legos on the floor, and then you guys step
Ouch.
On them and get hurt like I do. All right, so then...
Is somebody writing this down?
Yeah, somebody write this down. All right, let's get into talking about our top story at this hour. Krispy Kreme, this was sent to us by Charlie, has teamed up with a soda company in North Carolina to release Krispy Kreme flavored soda. It appears to be called Cheerwine Cream. And it will taste like a glazed donut. Tyson, all right, let's talk about whether or not you'd be into the donut soda.
Not particularly, no, but if any of my Carolina friends would care to ship me some, I will definitely drink all that they send.
Would you put it in your soda helmet?
Yes.
Okay. Danny, would you potentially be interested in something like this?
I had an epiphany yesterday.
Yes.
Ooh.
I was drinking a Mountain Dew, and I thought, OMG, I am so sick and tired of soda.
No!
I think I've maxed out on soda. I need a breather.
Pepsi maxed out.
Yeah, Pepsi maxed out on my soda. I overdoed it, and...
Did you just come up with that?
I did. Yeah, I mean, dude, I might as well just leave right now because I'm not going to do any better than that. Anyway, I overdoed it and I need a break from soda.
Wow.
I was telling my wife this morning, much to her relief, because she's convinced I'm going to die young because of my soda consumption.
Now, do you need break from soda, or do you need a break from soda that has color?
No, I drank some water last night and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so refreshing. I almost never drink water unless it has tons of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is kind of like my methadone, and it's Crystal Light in water with caffeine. So, yeah. All right. I don't know if I could do this at this time in my life.
Tyson, how does the soda industry get Danny back?
Oh, well, they have to cater to his every want and need and desire.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to find out what flavor Danny really likes, even if it's water-flavored soda. Like, you add the sugar, you add the caffeine.
Well, isn't that what Crystal Pepsi's going for?
Yeah, but Crystal Pepsi has some flavor to it. I think there's a way you could kill the flavor completely but still have all the calories.
Flavorless Crystal Pepsi. Are you in, Danny?
No, hey, they have this. It's called carbonated water, and I do drink it.
But that's not the same because it doesn't have that syrupy feel that you like going down your throat.
Mm.
Yeah, I love it. Don't worry, guys. This is temporary. This happens every summer. I overdo it on the soda. And so maybe in the fall, I'll hit the Krispy Kreme soft drink, but not
right
now.
What if it were called Mountain Donut?
How long have you been sitting on that joke?
I just barely came up with it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's an inspiration.
Thank you.
I'll try it. Just set it aside. If anybody buys it, set it aside and then send it to me in a month or two.
Okay, so
Danny
might be in.
I don't think you're going a month.
The Mountain Donut, Tyson. All right, so now for you, would you have something like this, or does it need to be Krispy Kreme?
Krispy Kreme. Yeah. No, I'll taste it, but I have a hard time thinking it's going to beat Crystal Pepsi.
Why is it red in the picture? I don't get why that the...
Because that's Cher Wine's color, so they probably just put the cream on.
Is Cher Wine a thing? Or Cheer Wine?
Yes. Cheer Wine.
Yeah.
Cheer Wine is a thing. It's like an old school soda from the South, I think.
Yeah. So is this going to be big? Is this going to be popular?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Danny, to update an earlier item, that if you are drinking the Krispy Kreme soda while driving, could the police pull you over for having crystal meth soda?
This is the safe way to approach donut eating while driving. They might arrest you for having a disgusting drink in your possession. I don't know if that's on the books in your state, but I'm sure in some states, this type of mixing of donut and soda is strictly prohibited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyson, is soda not good enough that we need to have donut flavored soda?
I think soda is already probably peaked in the 1992.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and so I think, yeah, it's been a slippery slope downhill since then, and donuts maybe just the icing on the cake.
No, just icing on the donut. I think that's it.
Icing on the donut?
Yeah.
You Dang know, if it. You want to, if you want to overcome soda, right? It was really a two-part epiphany. The first one came when I went to Maverick and I was filling up a 32-ounce drink, and I looked around and I thought, these are my people crowded around the soda yeah. machine. And I thought, am I one of them? Is this who I am? Yeah. And then I filled up my drink and put my head down and rushed out of the store. But
it's got just, arrested for shoplifting.
Yeah. What kind of people will be consuming this drink? Because you have to think, these are my people now.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
The donut soda consumers.
So, the Crystal Pepsi people.
Do you want to be with these people?
So this was bad for you to be around other fellow soda drinkers. So you think the idea of like a soda rally is a bad idea?
Well, no, I mean, it was like I'm looking around at these people filling up their 64-ounce mugs, you know, insulated
they're
mugs.
They're not happy. Mm-hmm. They're not happy.
They don't look happy. Yeah, they're breathing really heavy, having a hard time lifting up that mug. And I just thought, is this who I am? Is this my future?
Yeah.
You know, then they get on their mobility scooter and they're on their way. And I just don't want to be part of that. So really, I got to take a break.
Really taking so the can't. Cheer out of cheer wine, Danny.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They don't probably don't serve cheer wine out of a dispenser at a Maverick. So if you can drink it in the solitude of your home, you'll probably be a lot happier.
I don't know.
Wow. One of the biggest lovers of soda has now gone a full 180.
Wow.
Yeah. When I visited Tyson, when he lived in Europe, I used to sit in bed and drink Fanta in the morning and eat gummy worms. That's how bad my addiction got. But I'm trying to change that image.
Now, Tyson,
that's probably why your nails and hair grow so fast is from all the gelatin you eat.
Yeah, it's insane. My fingernails do grow really fast. They're talons.
Tyson, now, it probably is healthier for you to drink the Krispy Kreme soda than to eat a Krispy Kreme donut, right? I think the soda is fat-free. No trans fat in soda.
Is there trans fat in donuts?
Oh, yeah. That's like the number one place to get trans fat. Yeah.
Well,
trans fat doesn't sound bad, though. It sounds like transportational fat, like it's getting you around.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, don't you need...
Right.
Don't you need some fat to go with your sugar so that you can metabolize all of it properly?
Well, you're barking up the wrong tree with that. Yeah.
Don't you need fat to lube your joints?
Yeah, you do need fat to lube
Isn't
your joints,
that how
dude.
Your joints are oiled by fat.
I think we have nowhere else to go here with this. Let's move on.
All right. All right. Okay.
So it's agreed. We will all try the donut soda when it gets shipped to us.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Harambe. Oh, no.
Back in the news.
All right. Look, now we have to be serious. We have a serious story to talk about.
All right.
This is good. This was sent in to us by one of our listeners, Troy Cockrum, who, of course, used our email address, tips@newsaf.news. All right. This is no laughing matter to talk about this. The Cincinnati Zoo had to shut down its Twitter account this week after a barrage of jokes and memes about the late gorilla Harambe. This comes days after the account was hacked and briefly turned into a Harambe meme page. The director of the zoo is claiming that they're all still healing from the loss of Harambe, and the constant mentions of his name are making the process more difficult. So there's a bunch of people who are out there who are still affected by the loss of Harambe. And then there's a lot of wiseacres out there who seem to be constantly coming up with Harambe memes and jokes. So we are at a point where we're trying to still understand this tragic loss. And then there are people who are still making light of it, Tyson.
Yes.
How do we reconcile these two things?
Well, it is hard because from, I mean, most of the people that are probably making these memes never really got to know Harambe. Mm-hmm. And so so they don't treat him like a pet or a friend or something, mm-hmm. versus the people at the zoo who have probably had a relationship with him for years and years. So the zoo, like, even in, like, I'm so distant and removed from it, I can't even put myself in their position. Right. So, Danny, what's the best meme you came up with?
Look, the problem is there's a simple equation on the internet, one of the many equations, and it goes like this. The more a certain group cares about something, the harder another group is going to work to mock it.
Hold on. So let me get a pen out here. So the more people like something or care about something?
Care about something, the harder other people are going to work to mock it. Right? And so the more sorrow and sad and if they keep it in the news, then there's going to be people out there willing to make memes, because as long as there's attention being given to the subject, there's going to be those who want some of that attention by making memes.
So you think that
the answer is to turn the internet off in Cincinnati.
Okay, turn the internet off in Cincinnati. Could it just be that people that come out, that like all the people that are sad about Harambe, to say, you know what, we're over it, we don't care about Harambe anymore, and then will the memes stop?
Yeah, maybe if everybody decided that they were going to just have a cold, dead heart, it wouldn't, you know, no one would be affected. You know, it's weird that gorillas don't get much respect, but if this were like a police dog or a dog, you know, that was around town and everybody knew, that there would be mourning and people wouldn't mock it nearly as much. For some reason, gorillas get no respect postmortem.
Yeah. Other than Harambe?
Dogs do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's getting a little bit, but outside of Cincinnati, he's not getting any. It's just kind of an interesting observation that gorillas get no respect postmortem.
Just like Rodney Dangerfield.
I mean, is the base of Harambe's support Cincinnati-based, where people in Cincinnati are sort of like, you know, cheering for him like some local hero, like Pete Rose?
Yeah, and the other problem is, a lot of people probably don't know that Cincinnati is in the U.S.
I think people know that.
So they're like, it's okay to make fun of a gorilla that died in the Ukraine, Cincinnati, Ukraine.
No, it's Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
Ohio, that's Rust Belt.
You don't think that they're a little confused about where he's from?
No, people know where Cincinnati is, Danny. And then let me tell you some of these things that people are doing, and you tell me if this is funny or not. So there's a bunch of teenagers that managed to get Google Maps to rename the street outside their high school, Harambe Drive.
Okay, that seems like an honor.
Out of respect. Yeah. That's good.
Another person photoshopped Harambe's face onto Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
I want to see that. Did they add him or did they put replace? So it looks like they replaced Washington, I think, with Harambe.
The guy with wooden teeth.
Yeah. I don't know. And then also then a petition to make Harambe into a Pokemon has gotten more than 80,000 signatures, which would have made it a law, you know, 20 times over in Canada. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change.org.
All these things seem to be out of respect, because the memory of him will live on if he's a Pokemon, at least for as long as the app does.
He's not really gone if we haven't forgotten.
Yeah, none of these are belittling. There's a lot of belittling ones that are probably a lot harder to swallow than getting a street named after him or something like that. I think,
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's our official stand on this? Do we applaud the Cincinnati Zoo for taking down their Twitter? Or should they have, kept a brave face during this ongoing onslaught?
I think when you let them know that, when you let the haters know that they got to you, then it just gets worse.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Well, we still stand with Harambe. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
I didn't know him personally.
Posted.
Agreed.
On all of this stuff. I've been sort of reticent to talk about anything Harambe, but I feel like that, now this has become a social media story. And not so much a story about the outrage.
It'll all fade. Time passes. Things, people move
Time
on.
Time heals all wounds.
Yeah.
It heals all wounds.
No, there's except, no need to get too the ones, yeah. bunched up about it.
Yes. All right. So then let's talk about another story. And this is a pretty interesting story that came out this week. A new study, Wendy Jung sends us, tells us that the Instagram filters you use can indicate whether or not you are depressed.
Ooh.
All right. Mm. All right. Let's hear it. Tyson, what Instagram filters are you using these days?
Here's all I do.
Okay.
I add the photo and then I adjust the brightness. So I click the bright button and it automatically goes up. And if I like it there, I'll keep it there. Sometimes I add a little bit or take a little bit of the brightness away, but I always brighten up my photos just a hair. So that, I think, means that I am not depressed.
Now, Danny, you're a big time Instagrammer, right?
Yep.
You were nominated for Instagrammy at one point, correct?
Yeah, I'm a big time Instagrammer. I'm kind of like Tyson, though. I don't use any filters.
Hashtag no filter.
Yeah, don't use that hashtag either, because that probably means you're a pompous a-hole. What I do is edit the picture beforehand and then put it in, like using Snapseed or Lightroom or something.
Oh, that sounds like you're even more depressed, Tyson, right?
Yeah, like I'm trying to cover up all my defects super hard.
Yeah.
Maybe insecure might be a better word to use.
There's a lot of words we could use.
Yeah. All right, well, here's what the study is showing. That the study shows people that are using darker or less colorful filters are emphasizing black and white and blue. Black and white or blue and gray. So it's like anybody that was basically Instagramming about that dress, I think, if it was black and white or blue and gray, that Inkwell is a very depressing filter. So if you're inkwelling, that means you're depressed. And if you're using bright or more saturated filters like Valencia, you have a healthy state of mind, like Stephanie Valencia.
I used to only use Valencia before they allowed you to adjust the brightness.
You know what? I have to say that I was always using Valencia. And then after all the Harambe stuff, I'm a little more Inkwell.
Well, so now when you go to a psychiatrist, he's not going to use the ink blot test. He's going to have you take out your Instagram account, load a picture. He's going to look over your shoulder to see how you edit it before you post it.
Yes, yes. So they give you these tools. They sit you down in front of Photoshop and then say, like, can you color correct this photo for us? Like,
yeah. That's and then commit you immediately.
Yeah,
actually, for your own safety. Yeah.
If you go back to the Harambe picture that I put up here in the news AF, you can see I use like an Inkwell type filter on the Harambe photo.
Wow!
Yes. My goodness, that tells us a lot.
Yeah,
subconsciously, Rob, you are hurting inside.
I am. I am. I'm still hurting. So the Instagram photos, now we could take a look at. We should bring up Instagram now and see who we know that's depressed and who's not depressed. We can get a good sense of that now.
I'm going to look at my pictures.
Under any black and white ones, we can be like, is everything okay?
Yeah, you look a little Inkwell.
If you guys want to troll some of your Instagram friends, go ahead and tweet me some screenshots of you asking if everything's okay under the black and white photos.
I did a black and white photo a couple days ago. Well, a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't do it because I was depressed. I did it because there was almost no color in the picture itself. All right, Tyson? So don't write any comments underneath
That's what you are telling yourself. But subconsciously, I'm feeling like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah. I'm going to save my comments. But I think that I now know a bunch of people from the reality TV world that are depressed now that I scroll through this. And this is really tough news for Instagram, which is coming on the heels of a year of good news for Instagram, where in 2015, according to this story from Vogue.com, the hottest baby names of 2015 were Instagram filters. Tyson, did you and Rachel consider naming Bergen after any Instagram filters in 2015?
Yeah, let me go through the ones we went through. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to see all these filters because
let me tell you the ones that people picked out. So the big ones Gingham. In 2015 were Lux, Valencia, Juno. You would think that would have probably happened the year they made that Juno movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that girl that got knocked up.
Yeah. Ludwig, Amaro, Willow, and Reyes. And that's what my dog's name is.
That's when you know you've made it as a company, when people are naming their children after your product.
Yeah.
You peaked.
Yeah.
What about Moon?
Moon.
Lark.
Yeah.
Let me find Aiden.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Perpetua.
Yeah.
Amaro.
I guess
Mayfair.
If you name your kid Hudson. Inkwell, you really don't give him a chance.
No, X-Pro 2?
X-Pro 2, yeah.
Lo-fi?
Those are really brave people.
Lo-fi.
Hefe.
It's pronounced lo-fi, so... That's a good good look into the Instagram filters. And if you take pictures of your kid and use the Inkwell filter, then it's also not good.
Oh, social services. Postpartum might be
depression.
On your door.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about another story that comes to us this week from Stephanie Bourgeois, who says that visitors to the Lobster Festival in Alberta were sorely disappointed this week when Air Canada failed to deliver an entire shipment of lobsters to the festival, causing the guests to have to eat hot dogs instead. We have so many stories on this show about either shipments of food going to Canada, coming from Canada, being intercepted by Canadian pirates. And here, the what happened to the lobsters, Tyson?
What happened to the lobsters was, it sounds like, reading the article, Air Canada just didn't ship them on time.
Why?
And so, out of, I would say, probably out of slothfulness.
Oh, no.
One of the seven deadly sins. Uh-oh.
Yeah, one of the seven deadly sins.
Not gluttony? Didn't eat them?
No, it wasn't gluttony at all, because after the story broke that the Lobster Fest did not get the lobsters, Air Canada immediately shipped the... now struggling for their life, lobsters,
mm-hmm.
who apparently a lot of them arrived dead and completely, you could not eat them at all because they had gone bad.
Yeah. The lobster was meant to be shipped from Newfoundland to where they were in Alberta, but Air Canada failed to ship them until the media picked up on the story. Then they got shipped the next day. And then they were not fresh enough to eat. You don't have that problem with hot dogs.
By fresh, does that mean they have to be alive?
Probably. I think they were shipped alive, and then they probably passed away in transit, and then they sit dead.
In the airplane.
Yeah, once they sit dead for too long, you can't eat them. So that's a real, real waste.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you're taking these living creatures out of their natural habitat, I assume.
Yeah, and then where are the tears for the lobsters? I mean, one gorilla dies.
The memes
dies.
Haven't been made yet.
Yeah, but a million lobsters die every day and nobody sheds a tear because they're ugly.
Well, there was a festival of people who gathered together just to eat lobsters.
Yeah, can you imagine that? It's like a festival for lobster genocide. Is that what? Yeah.
Now, Danny, you said that you got depressed when you gathered with the other soda drinkers. How do you think the other lobster eaters felt when they got together?
Well, they probably revel in their murderous ways.
Yeah.
That's probably what brings them together, are the cries of the lobster as they boil alive.
Battle cry. Tyson, do you ever go to Lobster Fest at Red Lobster?
No, I think I have before, and there were a lot of people on oxygen tanks there. I think that's a Red Lobster thing.
Beyonce there?
Beyonce, does she go to Lobster Fest at Red Lobster?
No, remember, sometimes. She supposedly promoted Red Lobster.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
that what it was?
The thing I like about Red Lobster is I think they do have a special spot for your oxygen tank by each seat.
I thought you could plug your oxygen hose into the aquarium and you get some of the oxygen that
some
goes through the bubble
water.
Machine.
Yeah,
and
some
it just,
water,
it goes
water filtered oxygen.
You.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Dude, Red Lobster is a franchise... I mean, why aren't people so upset about dying lobsters? That's what I don't get. Do you think there's people out there who are like really mad that so many lobsters die, or just nobody cares about
crustaceans? I think gorillas are probably closer to us at like DNA-wise. I think that
do you have any proof of that, Rob?
Yeah. Let's get a lobster and let's get Rob's DNA and put them up side by side.
Yes.
Let's get all of their DNAs. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think his whole thing will take 24 hours because on CSI, it doesn't take very long to get DNA. Yeah. So
you just plug it into the computer slot and then it produces the results. So who's going to collect the DNA? Danny, we'll have you collect the DNA from all three specimens.
I'm not clear. I'll collect the lobster.
I'll meet you
DNA,
at Starbucks for that.
Lobs.
So now that the people that went to the Lobster Fest, do you think that they were still like dressed in like lobster bibs and ready to go with like their melted butter when they brought out the hot dogs?
Yeah. Why hot dogs? Why not chicken?
Because hot dogs have some lobster meat in them.
Is that true? Were they lobster hot dogs?
Probably.
No, I mean, hot dogs are notorious for being a mixed mash of different animals' assholes. I think there's got to be some lobster asshole in there. Yeah, there's definitely some crab asshole in a hot dog.
No, I'm just saying, like, there must have been some other seafood available nearby that they could have run out and
for an entire festival.
Yeah. Hot dogs, you buy, like, packs of 12.
Yeah.
But the buns are packs of eight. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're guaranteed to get some lobster assholes in there.
Yeah. Out of all the things they could have picked, why hot dog? It seems like got a lot of other
options. They were scrambling. They didn't know what to do. So... we'll see. Now, Danny, did you have another Canadian food shipment story?
Yeah, and let me just preface this by saying that I've come to love Canada.
Yes,
by doing this podcast, it's like American crimes are, you know, American stories about Harambe or Flocka.
They're violent, also,
but if they're violent and somewhat inkwell, mm-hmm. but the Canadian story,
still Valencia,
they just see. There's so much more entertaining.
Even the crime is Valencia.
It's like, yeah, it's just...
It makes you feel good. It's a feel-good crime.
Yes. It's a feel-good country. But their stories, at least, are feel-good stories. So, yeah, there's another Canadian story, and this was sent to us by Sam Forrest. And it goes along with their heist. I guess that Canadian is full of, as Rob said, pirates
mm-hmm.
and bandits.
Food pirates.
But they don't take things like chemo medicine... Or, you know, stuff headed to orphanages. They steal things like syrup,
mm-hmm.
cheese. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in this story, $17,000 worth of soap.
Soap?
Wow. Yep. Liquid hand soap, to be more specific.
Yeah.
No. Thousands of bars of hand soap.
Bars?
Stolen from, yeah, bars. $17,000 of soap was stolen from a business. Now, who keeps $17,000 worth of soap on hand?
Yeah.
Pun not intended or whatever.
I bet it's a business where their hands get dirty all the time. Could be a hospital, could be a mechanic, could be some type of sex operation. There's what about the robot brothel? It could be at the robot brothel. Yeah. It could be anywhere.
The testing ground
for the robot. Yeah. Danny, did they get caught or was it a clean getaway?
No, these people never get caught. The syrup people, the cheese people, now the soap people.
Yeah.
Are they the same people? Are
find these the soap the and you will find the syrup
in history?
And you will find the cheese.
Yeah.
It's probably Amway.
Yes, there's a warehouse.
Dude, do you know how much soap you'd need to clean stolen syrup off your hands?
Yeah, that's how, it's like one thing after the next. It's like they stole the syrup and it broke. And then here's like, okay, now what do we do?
Cheese. Oh my God, it's so much cheese and salt and savory. I need something sweet. Syrup. Drink. Oh, it's all over my hands and body. I need soap. Where does the soap? What's the next thing? And mm-hmm. we can just post up and wait for the criminals.
Probably some laxative.
After eating soap, you're going to need laxative?
No. After, I'm sure the cheese and the syrup has solidified into a solid block in their stomach.
Okay.
So they're going to have to get that out somehow.
All right.
Laxative.
Well, let's not go too far down this this alley.
Down this wormhole.
Yeah, this is no good.
I'm on pins and needles, though, when it comes to what's going to be heisted next out of Canada.
I imagine these guys to be real cool guys.
Yeah, they probably are. Yeah. Cool. We should get them on the show.
We have another Canadian related story. So this was sent to us by John Johnston, one of the great emailers in News AF, has a bunch of stories every week that he sends us, tips@newsaf.news. So the annual Port Huron Float Down, which is an event in Michigan where people get into inflatable life rafts like this, and they float down the river and get wasted. Unfortunately, there was a lot of wind this year, and it pushed the floats down into Canadian waters, where about 1,500 drunk Americans ended up on the shores of Sarnia, Ontario, forcing the Canadian authorities to aid them in getting back across the border, but they didn't have passports.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is genius, because now we know, if Donald Trump becomes president, how to get across the Canadian border.
Well, this is why Canada needs to build a wall, because you have all of these drunk Americans in their life rafts, just waiting to get swallowed. Oh, it was an accident.
Refugees.
Yeah, refugees. Yeah. All these refugees trying to get across the Canadian border. It's like, you know, if people aren't careful, Canada's going to build that wall. And we're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah. I don't fully understand. Did they get blown upstream?
Yeah.
Or just to a different fork or what?
I don't know. They were so drunk, I guess, that they didn't realize that the wind was just pushing them into Canada.
Wow. Were they trying to smuggle in cheese and syrup in their rafts?
Yeah,
and,
they
said and bars of soap.
This is where all the soap is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to be thankful, though, that America borders Canada, not like Ethiopia or not Somalia or something. Because this wouldn't be a happy incident. All these people get blown onto the shores of Somalia.
Yeah. Well, they were lucky. They were lucky.
You know what they say? Where there's water, sometimes there's soap.
Is that true?
Is that a thing?
I'll just said it.
Your word for it. Yeah. Yep, now it is.
Okay, so everybody needs to be careful out there. Now, I know you guys aren't big drinkers, so the idea of just like getting on one of these inflatable rafts and then just getting wasted wouldn't be appealing. Would it be appealing if you weren't drinking, just going and sitting on the life rafts with these bros?
Yeah, sounds nice.
Oh, is it a life raft?
Well, no, it's whatever you can find that
floats. Tube. Yeah.
So,
no,
yeah,
I've tubed rivers before. It's pretty fun. It's scenic.
Yeah. Okay. So you go tubing.
It's going to turn into a real international incident if, like, Canada had scrambled some F-16s and then, you know, they could have made it a big deal, but they decided to keep it Canadian and make it just a funny joke.
They're so forgiving.
They brought everybody back. So thank you, Canada. Thank you for returning our lost drunk people, bringing them back home. So thank you.
I need
thank
a Canada shirt.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about a couple of other updates and things like that. Of course, Pokemon AF. Pokemon, is it slowing down or is it picking back up, Tyson?
It's slowing down, at least for me personally. Okay.
Well, we got a lot of people submitted this story that there is an Australian spinoff of In-N-Out called Down-N-Out. And they're taking advantage of the Pokemon Go craze by offering Pokemon-themed burgers. So they're calling them Pokeburgs. They're available until September 3rd. They're modeled after Pikachu, Charmander, and Bulbasaur.
Okay.
NewsAF intern Lita wants to know, why wasn't Squirtle included?
Yeah, because Squirtle, I imagine just that's a lot. There's a lot of mayonnaise on that sandwich.
The Squirtle sandwich. So you can put Squirtle on your hamburger if you want.
Squirtle sauce.
Personally apply it to that hamburger.
And so what they're doing is that the burgers are colored, the yellow one, a green one, an orange one, and they've painted eyes on the top of the burger to make them look more Pokemon-like.
Okay.
What is the stuff that is making the eyes on these burgers? Is it sort of like, do they have like a branding iron and it's like the blacksmith from medieval times is doing that? Or is it painted on?
I think they've hired some failed artists to come and paint these.
They're like henna tattoos.
It looks like it.
Edible henna.
Yeah.
Most Pokemon enthusiasts can't afford to eat out.
Is that true?
I feel like you're making some pretty big assumptions.
General assumptions. Well, I know that there's a few that can, but there's definitely a few that can't.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is pretty wild in terms of what these burgers look like. They're so adorable. I don't know if I'd want to eat one.
Maybe somebody in Australia can ship us each one of the burgers, and then we can eat them next week.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm glad that they just decided to go with these Pokemon, and they didn't wait for that Harambe signature to go through and have some sort of Harambe burger Pokemon.
Yeah,
the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible idea.
Yeah.
So that is what's going on in the world of Pokemon. No word on if they're selling well. That they have these burgers, but no word if anybody wants to eat them.
I heard they were selling well.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually did hear that. Doesn't it say that in the article that they have been a big hit?
Are they a big hit? I'm more concerned with Hungry Jack, that they are a sponsor.
Hungry Jack.
Have you been to Hungry Jack?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
It's,
they're a sponsor of Australian Survivor.
They are? Hungry Jack is Burger King. Did you know that?
It's the same logo. It would be like a real copyright infringement if it wasn't.
Yeah. Me and Boston Rob, when we were sequestered in Australia, we went to Hungry Jack in the middle of the night once, and it was about as terrible as Burger King. maybe worse.
So this isn't some origin story of how Hungry Jack came to sponsor Australian Survivor, where it was like you guys walked in there and it's like, oh my God, it's Boston Rob and Tyson. Like, hey, if you guys play your cards right, maybe one day you could sponsor Survivor. Like, oh, wow.
Let me look into the Oracle bones.
Yeah, like Mayor Goldie Wilson.
It's one of the few times neither Rob nor I finished our meals in Australia.
I'm surprised that you didn't eat someplace more expensive, Tyson.
Well, this was like third dinner for us, and it was the middle of the night, so there wasn't a lot of options.
Yeah. All right. So that is Hungry Jack, and that is not where you can get the Pokemon burgers. That's at Down and Out. Not a great name for a burger place, I have to say.
Down and Out?
Yeah.
It sounds like they use Inkwell a lot there. Yeah, I'm going to Down and Out.
Yeah, it's really like, that's how Danny was feeling after he drank that soda.
Yeah. I was you were down and out then. And then I was out.
Imagine if you had a burger then after that.
And walked out.
I feel like there's really a donut. Yeah, I feel like there's some type of you could say donut out. No.
Yeah.
Let's keep brainstorming on that.
Down and Out. That's really, In and Out is sort of like, okay, you're in and out. You're down and
quick.
Out. That's nice. If anything, it should be like down and up. I don't know.
Or down and under.
Down and under. Yeah. That would work.
Is that Australian?
Yeah.
I mean, right. It sounds sad, but that's Australia.
And one other update, one other down and update to give you. This is a story we've been following for quite some time about the class action lawsuit against Starbucks for too much ice in the cold drinks and whether or not people are getting boned on this. And so now a federal judge has thrown this class action lawsuit right out of court and saying that the plaintiffs and lawyers are saying that there's any reasonable customer should be able to figure out that fluid ounces included the ice, not just the drinkable beverage. Justice Apostle, do you agree with this ruling?
Yes.
It's nice. I'm just glad that this case was able to make it all the way to the courthouse where it could tie up the legal system and stop more important matters from coming forth. I just like the fact that the judge ridiculed the plaintiffs and their lawyers who brought the case, say no reasonable adult customer, much less a child, should be deceived by the company's beverage labeling. So they were called children by the judge.
I'm surprised that I don't know necessarily if I would have thought that, like, when you get a drink from Starbucks, that the liquid includes the liquid in the ice.
I think you do, because when they're like, what size do you want? And you're like, the 32-ounce cup. And they're like, okay, we're putting some ice in there, which will take up some of the room of that exactly 32-ounce cup.
Yeah, I guess
doesn't
so.
Doesn't that mathematically make sense?
Yeah, I think that probably a better defense would just be, no, that's how much liquid the cup holds. And don't get me confused with that the
that's
includes
the
ice.
Cup.
Yeah, the cup volume.
Yeah, that that's should the be volume better. Of the cup. At so whatever you put in there, it's going to replace the other stuff. If you put sand in there, that's obviously going to take up part of the 32 ounces.
I'm just hoping that we see this go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Should it go to the Supreme Court?
I think they need to appeal, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, the courts have nothing else to do, so let's get this all the way up there.
I think we need to send to the Supreme Court. I think so. We'll see. We'll keep us posted on what's going on, if any other developments happen in the Starbucks ice saga. All right, and that's all the news AF that I have. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on today before we jump off?
Nope, I got the Canadian.
I did want to give Sam Forrest credit for the soap heist story.
Yes.
So, you know, keep sending in those stories, guys. Rob, where can we send those?
Tips@newsaf.news. That is the email address. And, of course, our News AF intern, Lita, has to go through all of the many submissions and pick out a lot of the best ones that we talk about here on the show. So keep up the great work. Yeah, really, I'm very impressed with what the submissions our listeners have been sending us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and very grateful.
The inbox is filling up every week. So good work. Good work, everybody.
Through all the stories so that we can remain happy.
Yes.
As, you know, they go through all that depressing garbage. They're the ones using Inkwell. We're using Valencia. And it works out better this way for us.
That's right. And we keep
Valencia
your news
FTW.
Unfiltered. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the show for this week. If you want to send us a submission or a comment or feedback on our iTunes page, you can go to newsaf.news. Of course, thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who edits News AF, the podcast, all week long. And you could watch News AF on our YouTube channel at youtube.newsaf.news. Follow Tyson on Twitter. He's at Tyson Apostle, and Danny is at Danny Bryson. Anything else?
We got some reviews.
Okay,
reviews.
Give us a review real quick, because I got to get on a plane.
Okay. A++ AF by Jay Runtz. I didn't know what I didn't know, but thanks to News AF, now I know.
Okay. As simple as that.
Should I read that one more time?
No, I think we got it. I think we got it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good stuff, everybody. Lots of fun this week. Take care. Have a good one.
Bye. We did it, guys.